How are zoos celebrating Halloween during the pandemic? Well, on today's show, we bring on Alex from Zoo Tampa to discuss how their event, Creatures of the Night, is pivoting in some interesting ways this year. From the Haunted Attraction Network, I'm Philip. Today is Wednesday, October 21st, and this is your Halloween news briefing. Before we go to the interview with Alex, let's bring on Daryl with the news.
While we've seen some very unique ways of celebrating Halloween this year, this is probably one of my favorite, and unfortunately, I'm not close enough to attend myself. The Bite LA has created a food crawl. Now, it's going to snake its way around the eerie Leg Lake and through a bunch of immersive environments where, they say, sinister specters will offer up delicious bites of seasonal grub all from the safety of your own car. Now, the bites vary from savory to sweet and will include vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options for certain items. If there is something on the menu you don't want, you simply order more of something that you do. Each person accounted for in your ticket purchase will receive 8 bites, a campfire dessert, and a warm fall drink, and you can dispense of those bites as you choose as you take your tour. You can also purchase additional bites. In addition to the tour around the lake, they are also bringing a flashlight creature safari. So, you bring your own flashlight and you scan the surrounding darkness from the safety of your own car. You hunt for the shadowy and monstrous creatures that roam the abyss. So this is something to keep people involved, especially younger kids. They are also having a virtual campfire that you park around and listen to scary ghost stories while rounding out the evening's food experience with a special campfire dessert and your choice of hot cocoa, hot apple cider, or coffee. Again, there are vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free desserts available. Something that's a little unique, they're having a car costume contest? That's right. Spook up your ride and you'll be automatically entered in our car costume contest. Every car that arrives decorated in a costume will be entered to win fun prizes throughout the season. This is a very unique take on Halloween, and it's going to be very safe. Other people have had to pivot too. Anoka, Minnesota has proclaimed themselves the Halloween capital of the world, and this will be their 100th anniversary. John Joss, the chair of this year's celebration, said Halloween is a big deal in Anoka. It's ingrained to the experience of being an Anokan. Worries about community spread of the coronavirus and other concerns have forced Halloween leaders to rethink this year's event. At one point, there was talking of canceling the celebration, but that's only happened twice. Both times were during World War II. They definitely want to get the word out that Anoka Halloween has not been canceled, so they've rethought up a whole bunch of things. Most of it means going back to the basics. The city's very first celebration in 1920 was intended to distract Anoka's youth from pulling off Halloween pranks. There was a large bonfire and a parade with nearly 1,000 attendees, along with the ringing of church bells and whistles at 7:30 p.m. on Halloween. The festival has grown dramatically since then. In recent years, the city has hosted 3 Halloween parades, and the largest one, the Grand Day Parade, regularly draws crowds of 60,000 people, which is triple the size of the city. So this year, instead of having everybody gather on Main Street to watch the parade go by, you'll be able to drive past all of the floats. In another nod to the past, residents will hear sirens and church bells at 7:30 p.m. on Halloween. The event is nice because you can step outside of your home or open a window and listen to the actual anniversary 100 years later. Way to go, Anoka, for pivoting on this one. CNN Business came out with an article on Monday that talks about a bunch of things. David Steinberg, the co-founder and CEO of Zeta Global, which is a data-driven marketing technology company, has a few comments. He's noted that kids are still excited for Halloween. Parents don't want to disappoint, especially after a tough year of having school from home. Whether or not they are trick-or-treating, there's still a reason for them to dress up as their favorite characters. This has caused Spirit Halloween to change things a little bit, and they're actually using Instacart delivery for Halloween costume shopping. We're seeing strong customer foot traffic and are anticipating sales on par with last year, says Aaron Springer, senior manager of public and media relations for Spirit Halloween. There is going to be much more socially distant trick-or-treating. Party City, Hershey's, ShopRite, Spirit Halloween, and the National Retail Federation and UNICEF have teamed up to create Halloween2020.org. They have a website that maps out how trick-or-treating safely in every county in the U.S. Some, like Spirit Halloween, are even recommending virtual ghost storytelling. For those that want to get out of the house, Lowe's is launching drive-through curbside trick-or-treating events. Party City has essentially written the playbook on virtual and at-home drive-by celebrations, says their company CEO Brad Weston, adding that the company developed virtual party kits, step-by-step guides, and checklists to make it easier to plan Halloween celebrations during the pandemic. The candy companies are feeling the hit, though. For candy companies like Hershey's, Halloween is the biggest season for sales, and the pandemic is really throwing them a curveball. Halloween-specific packaging on fewer treats and focusing on family-sized packs seems to be the norm for some of these companies now. We've already mentioned that the Sour Patch Kids are going to be coming to town to 12 cities in the United States in a previous newscast. Now we find out that Reese's is going to be sending out trick-or-treat doors. So basically, it's a big robotic trick-or-treat door. It'll roam around your neighborhood via remote control and stop at different houses. You'll know that it's coming because of its not-so-subtle smoke, lights, and sound effects. Once it arrives at your doorstep, simply say trick-or-treat, and you'll be rewarded with some king-size Reese's peanut butter cups through a retractable mail slot in the door, just like that. It's a perfect social distancing solution. We don't have details as to where and when exactly this is going to be happen. If you're into the idea, you should definitely visit at Reese's on Instagram and tell them with the hashtag Reese's Door where they should drive their trick-or-treat door on Halloween night.
Thank you for the updates on the news, Daryl. And now let's get into our interview with Alex Crow from Zoo Tampa about how Creatures of the Night this year is pivoting to include more actors and different costume choices and just a bunch of really fun stuff. So let's get on with that.
So Zoo Tampa's Creatures of the Night is our family-friendly Halloween event. Runs every Friday and Saturday through October, and also the last Thursday of October. And it's basically... It's a haunt event where we're trying to be kind of that middle ground to train the next generation of haunt fans. So if they're too old for, say, Mickey's Not So Scary or SeaWorld Spooktacular, but they're still too young for that Hollow Scream Halloween Horror Nights kind of experience, we want to be that middle ground for all of that. So we got stuff for the little ones, the middle ones, and the preteens as well.
Can you give us a very quick rundown of the offerings?
So for the event, we've got 9 specific areas. For the little guys, we've got Pumpkin Palooza, where they can have a dance party with some scarecrows. Yes. We've also got right in the front of the park our Twisted Tales. So it's all the villains they know from classic fairy tales with the fairy godmother there to keep them in line. And then for the middle guys, we've kind of got our Clown Carousel, where clowns are there taking over. And it's the beauty of clowns is you get double punch. So it's the regular, normal, fun clowns, but that still freaks some people out too. And then we've got Camp Creeptastic, which is more for those middle ground. And then we've actually got 2 haunted trails that hit that preteen where we are kind of pushing the limit of what zoos have done in the past when it is a family-friendly event. So we're trying to be creepy and scary, and that's Rising Waters and our Dinos at a Time experience. And then our icon is the Spider Queen. And you can go to where she lives, see her on the throne, take a photo, and have a party with her spider court.
That's great. And she looks fabulous, by the way.
Yeah, she's amazing.
What are you all doing to make sure this event is safe for everybody?
The biggest thing, even though Florida has lifted the ban and has kind of said theme parks and zoos can go back to normal, we've kept a lot of the safety implements that we put in during the time when we were a little bit stricter. So all of our employees have to wear masks. All of our cast have masks built into their costumes, so they're wearing masks. We strongly recommend that guests wear masks in the park. But we are a 95% outdoor experience, so we only require them to wear masks once they go indoors to our restaurants or a couple of the indoor spots around the zoo. In addition to that, for Creatures of the Night, we have time ticketing. So we are controlling the amount of people that can come in during times, and it's in 30-minute increments. So basically from 4 to 8, you reserve your time spot to come in. You come in at that point, and it's about 200 to 300 people per gap, and that allows us to spread them out through the park. And kind of the average length of stay for us is 2 to 3 hours. So by the time those, 7 o'clock people are coming in, the 4 o'clock people are moving out. And so it allows us to really never feel really full, no pinch points. You can have a good time and not worry and not feel like you're on top of other people.
And something I noticed that was a recurring theme here is that there's a lot of performers. Mm-hmm. Each of the things you mentioned is very performer heavy. And I mean, how intentional is this? Are you like, we want all these actors? I mean, what's going on here?
Well, we didn't go into planning this year's event thinking like that. We didn't realize we were that different. One of the cool things about our CEO, Joe Cosero, was he was very big on this is Creatures of the Night at Zoo Tampa. So we've got the ideals of the Zoo Tampa. So, animals are still part of it. The Spider Queen's our icon linked to spiders. But we went into it like creating a haunt event. So we wanted to tell a story at each of the experiences. We're heavy on performers because those are the people that create those memories. If you've been to a haunt attraction and there's nobody inside it to startle you or to have a moment with you, you walk out feeling like you missed something. So we capitalize on make sure we have enough characters so everybody in the park can have an experience at some point. And again, it's based on story. A good friend of mine, Scott Swenson, if you've ever heard him talk, he said it's all about the story no matter what you do, right? So I've kind of taken that into this. So every area is based on a story, and we've made the whole event around Campfire Tales. So you kind of said it's zoos telling stories, but we've taken it to the nth degree to make sure those stories are truly coming to life. And it's an experience, not just a drive-by, not just to look at, not just to listen.
When you were sitting down, did you have like a guiding, like a North Star or a guiding principle that you were trying to make sure everything aligned on? Because from the way you're talking, it sounds like you've had that meeting where the zoo is like, this is what we stand for. How do we make Halloween also match what we stand for? Did you have some sort of guiding path for that?
Sort of. So when we sat down, our CEO was very big on, especially because we've been shut down for a little bit due to the COVID situation, was like, if we can't do it right, we shouldn't do it this year. And it was the same time that Disney had made the decision to pull out and Universal had made the decision to pull out of Halloween events this year. And we felt strongly we could still do it right with all of this stuff. So the guiding star was to make sure we put all of our efforts into it, treat it like COVID wasn't here, but plan for COVID, if that makes sense. So this event that we put together would be the event we were doing if we didn't have those restrictions. So our guiding star was, don't confine yourself because of these restrictions. Redefine yourself because of these restrictions. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And I think it, if anything, it's a little bit even more of that opposite direction of what a lot of people are taking. We've seen a lot of people say, I'm going to scale back the offerings this year because it's safer and it's not as costly. You know, you see people taking the opposite approach a lot, and I'm not sure that really works. It's like when people have a bad year and the first thing they do is cut marketing, and right. It's like, you know, that's always what you want to do, but it's hardly ever the right answer. You know, it never really works that way. I also like when you're adding people to experiences when a lot of people are looking to get rid of them.
Correct. And again, we've trained all the actors, you know, maintain that social distance, try to keep 6 feet away, which is incredibly difficult with children who don't understand they can't hug the evil queen. Those are the kind of kids I like, by the way. But we've trained them all to stay back. And like you said, we put them in a lot of places, but we've also made it sure they feel safe. That's been a guiding star from the backstage stuff. We want our performers to feel safe to perform too, so that they're at their best too, and they're not worried about other stuff.
And one quick, can you give me an example of the mask incorporation into the costumes?
So you'll see a lot of photos of our clowns going around. Mm-hmm. And clowns are known for sometimes having those big red noses and the white face, the grease white makeup. So all of their masks are built in to look like it is the lower half of their face. So they've got the red noses and are painted to match whatever they've done for makeup design on top. But it's kind of neat because it's seamless. Like it doesn't feel out of place. Our costume designer did a great job. We work with Spellbound Stitches, and they've done a phenomenal job of making it naturally look like it's supposed to be there. So it doesn't look like an add-on. It doesn't look like, oh, we had to wear a mask, put a mask on.
Give us details as to where people can get tickets and what's going on with the rest of your Halloween run.
So to get any information about the event, go to zootampa.org and click on our events page. That's where you can make your reservations for what time you want to join us for the event. It's also where you can read a little bit more about the stories we're telling in each realm. And tickets range from about $24.95 on Fridays up to $29.95 on Saturdays. And we've got 2 weekends left. So at the time that we're recording this, you've got about 5 more nights to come and try to experience this until next year.
All right, that's it for today. If you have news, please send it to us at philip@hauntedattractionnetwork.com. And please, please rate and review us and send this to a friend and tell us if what we are doing here every day is helpful to you or not.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production.